The following podcast is sponsored by Endgame PR, a social media PR firm based near Richmond, Virginia. To learn more about how Endgame PR can help your business with media relations, social media management, content creation, and even podcast production, please visit endgamepr.com. That's E-N-D-G-A-M-E-P-R.com. Welcome to Season 1 of Rams Rewind, an all-new podcast that looks back on all of the action from VCU men's basketball. After every game, our host George Templeton talks live on Facebook with Ram fans and gives his take on the team's performance. And now, here's George.
All right, VCU wins 84-77. I wasn't sure what to make of it, you know, looking at the score, following it as I was, seeing what was being said in the game thread. I was tied up with some stuff that I had to do with my sister today, so I couldn't be there and watch it live, which I wish I could. It's a weird game because you know what? They were up in the first half, and I really wasn't happy with anything until we got to the last minute when they made those free throws to get the lead up. Too many silly fouls. God knows how many times. And, you know, it's funny because I don't think they had a foul called 7.5 minutes in. I think it was 4 fouls to 0 at 12:30 to go in the first half. And all of a sudden, just fouls you don't need to give away. Fouls that aren't the result of, you know, hustle or really trying to make a play. It's like it's a half-assed closeout and you bump the guy while he's in the air and it's a foul. It's you're not in really great position, so you're reaching. And it's a foul, and stuff like that, and it allowed GW to kind of get back in the game. You know, the VCU, I think, had got it out to something like 8 in the first half, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, they'd gotten it up to 8 points, and you know, and it just the defensive energy just wasn't there, which is weird to say because George Washington is 11 of 27 from the field, which you like that, it's 40%. You can deal with that, but the problem is, GW got 12 foul shots in the first half. Of course, it turned into a foul shooting fest in the first half, and VCU did very well in that regard, not as well in the second half. But the defensive energy for me wasn't there, so the other team shoots 11 of 27, but they're only down 6 because they made 2 more threes than we did, and they're 10 of 12 from the foul line to keep them in the game when they should be really further out. And that's in spite of the fact that VCU forced 14 turnovers, and this is another thing. It's starting to be a problem. VCU's not taking advantage of these turnovers. They're not getting what they should get. I mean, they did get 21 points off turnovers in the first half, but there were so many times where they would get a turnover or get a steal and turn it over right back. You know, fast break points, they were only +2, and they had an opportunity for a lot more than that. And I speak of that because, you know, this game could have been a much bigger margin in the first half, in my opinion. But I do want to laud them for first half foul shooting, 12 out of 15. You'll take that anytime. 80% from the foul line is great. That's excellent. You know, 7 assists on 14 made field goals is good until you look at their turnover number and see 11 turnovers. So yet again, more turnovers than assists. Not what we want. Not what we want at all. So that's particularly frustrating. So again, and then you throw in the fact that they're almost 50%. They should have been ahead by more than what they were. They really should have. And they weren't because the defensive energy wasn't there to the degree that I would like. And they were making silly fouls and making some just sloppy passes. That said, they hit the 5 free throws right at the end of the half to get the lead. And then they come out and it's so great to see Vince Williams, you know, who played poorly at Rhode Island and was quiet the first half, come out and bam, bam. He is right into it. I think he gets a 3-point play the old fashioned way, or did he get a 3? I'm going back to look here. He comes out and gets a 3, and then makes a nice fake drive into the paint, get a layup, bam! That's 5 quick points, and all of a sudden it's an 11-point lead, and they're kind of off to the races from there. You know, they maintained a double digit lead. All the way deep into the game, you know, deep into the last, you know, in about the last 5 minutes of the game, and that's where it kind of went away from him. But I was so happy with Vince Williams in the second half, his performance. I think he really needed that kind of a second half. He had 10 points and 4 boards in the second half. So it's very, and 3 assists to 1 turnover in the second half. So that's just really great from Vince Williams. That's a great half of basketball. And look, VCU's offense, I mean, this, and see, there's the other thing. We had 3 halves in a row where the offense was not where it was supposed to be. But a second half like this is what we're looking for, except for the foul shots. 17 of 29 from the field, it's almost 60%. But 10 assists on 17 made field goals, that's good. Also, 10 assists, 9 turnovers. 9 turnovers isn't great, but more turnovers, more assists than turnovers, absolutely critical. This team can't win when it's the other way. I think that's what we've seen demonstrated, especially in the Rhode Island game, is that when they have more turnovers than assists, they just don't have – they other than Highland – they don't have enough people that can create their own shot where they can get away with something like that. Also want a big call out to Mikel Brown-Jones and to Jameer Watkins. 13 points combined off the bench, 6 of 7 from the field. It was great to see Mikel Brown-Jones have a minute there where he got a couple baskets. And, you know, maybe it's going to take him a while, but he's going to start to get into this a little bit. So I want to give them a big shout out as well. Really excellent from them. But of course, a lot of people I saw were focused on the fact that a 17-point lead got whittled down to 7. I'm not as upset only because it never got to the point where it looked like George Washington was actually going to have a chance to threaten VCU. But I will say the free throws is one of the reasons why this ended up a 1-point second half when it should have been more. VCU 6 of 10, which is not great. George Washington 11 of 14, and that mainly comes from James Bishop, who had 8 of 9 from the foul line. He ended up with 14 in the second half because of that. And this is the thing that's worrying is now we've had a couple games in a row where the opposing guards have been able to get into the lane, have been able to create problems for VCU's defense. George Washington, I think, ends up. With one more free throw attempt and 3 more points at the line. They were 21 of 26, which is pretty good. VCU's 18 of 25, which is okay. Again, a better, not as good as second half. That's a concern. VCU was even in second chance points at halftime. They lost second chance points by 5 points in the second half. That was an issue. They only had 2 points off turnovers in the second half. That was another issue. So that, you know, these things, that's all the things that contributed to this coming down from a 17-point game, and it looks like they're going to cruise to 7. And I think, right, Pete, and I want to say this, I think you're right to be concerned because early in the season, this team was seeing the game out. They were really playing to the end of the line. There wasn't but a little bit of drift in these games, and they were winning conclusively. And now you look at this game, you look at the JMU game and what happened there. This game tonight, they let it get a little closer than they should have. You know, they didn't, even though Rhode Island was basically not even trying to score the last 5 minutes the other day, VCU really couldn't take advantage of it. So there, those are the things that are difficult to deal with. You don't ever want to see 20 turnovers, which is what VCU had. So even though they had 17 assists on 31 made field goals, which again, that's pretty good. 20 turnovers mitigates that offensively. VC had 17 steals. So that's why I say even though they dominated on points off turnovers and they ended up dominating on fast break points, it could have been more, which means it could have been more of a blowout. What I do want to say this, and I wonder if this is the coach kind of talking in their ear about this. VCU, we talked about too many threes at times and not taking enough twos. 15 threes taken tonight, 58 shots total, so 15 threes, 43 twos. I'm good with that, especially when VCU only makes 4 of 15, and they were 1 of 7 in the first half. So, you know, not getting carried away with the three-pointers is important because that's where they get into the long droughts. That's where this offense can grind to the halt. You saw a lot more sharing of the basketball today. And again, I know that the opponent isn't great, but they were 2-1, so they were tied with VCU in the standings. And Yes, they've lost. They lost those guys that transferred, but they picked up this kid Lindo with a pretty good night, 13-12. And of course, VCU not good on the backboard again. You know, -8, -6 on offensive rebounds, which led to GW ended up +5 on that. So they took advantage, but not to the degree that they could. Nobody on VCU had more than 5 boards. Ward off the bench. Baldwin had 5. Vince Williams had 5. Let's give a call out to Baldwin, though. Back to his best in terms of assist to turnovers. Wasn't so good the last few games at 8 assists, 2 turnovers. So I was very, very pleased to see that from him. You know, and again, judicious shot making. He only gets 6 points, but 6 points, 5 boards, 8 assists, 4 steals, too. Like that. Loved the press offense. At the end of the game, they played really great press offense when GW tried to press them because they kind of struggled in that. They broke it well. They got easy baskets. That's terrific. Highland, 17 to lead the team. 13 shots is not great, but he got to the foul line and he made them. 5 out of 6 from the line. We like that. We very much do like that. And for a long time, he was the only one in double figures and they were still winning. And in the end, Vince Williams got into double figures. You know, Hassan Ward, really terrific. Really terrific. 11 points, 4 blocks. They had a bunch of blocks early and steals. He gets 5 boards, which you'd like to see more of that. Very happy with his production as well. Corey Douglas had a block. He had a couple steals as well. It was nice to see him dunking the basketball. And that's the other thing. Ward and Douglas both finishing at the rim. But slam dunks more. I like that. These layups have been a problem for them, so I like seeing them finish at the rim with dunks. We talked about Vince Williams. That second half, I think, was crucial for him because, you know, 3 halves of basketball that were just not very good right in a row, that second half may get him going. Very happy with that and very happy with another road win. That's I think, 3 road wins now in the league, if I'm not mistaken. Let's see here. Let's see here. 3 road wins in the league now, and only the 1 home game, which of course was a loss. And we've had a home game rescheduled and a road game rescheduled, which we'll talk about in a minute. But 3 road wins. If this team, you know, could avoid what happened against Rhode Island and hold serve at home, you're already far down the road in terms of getting to the number you need to get if you're going to get into the top 4 and get that bye, which is crucial. So I love the fact that they've won 3 times on the road. In every game, they've managed to build a fairly big lead. 2 of them, they kind of let them slip a little bit. 1 of them, they ended up winning by 16, so you like that. They were really never in danger in the second half against either Mason or George Washington. Granted, again, the 3 teams they beat are not the best teams. They still got to play Richmond on the road. They still got to go to Rhode Island. They still got to go to St. Bonaventure. They still got to go to Davidson. They still got to go to Dayton. So tougher games ahead, but those are the games. Those kind of teams, you got to beat them on the road. You got to beat them home and away when you get them because it means if you split the other games, you're still going to be in good shape. So very happy with that. The performance was a mix. Like I said, the first half, and I've alibied this team with fouls before, but tonight, a lot of silly fouls, a lot of unnecessary fouls that were from not as good a defensive effort as is required, fouls that were just seemed like a little bit of brain farts for the players, and I think that might have to become a point of emphasis, because if you're going to commit a foul but you're being aggressive, you're being strong defensively, you're trying to make a play, and you go over the line, hey, this coach can live with it. I can live with it. I think the fans can live with it. What you can't live with is some of the fouls. You know, Baldwin did it. Douglas did it. Highland did it. A bunch of them did it where you're reaching. You're reaching because you're not in good defensive position and you give away a nickel dimer. Or you're trying to do a closeout and you're really late. And you're never going to get there, and you bump the guy anyway when you shouldn't. Things of that nature. That's where it gets a little bit hard to take. that's where you look at that and say, that's not going to cut it. So, you know, that's the thing. I think there needs to be a little bit of a talk about that with the coaches and the players, and talk about that, those kind of efforts. But I do think the coaching staff has done a good job at reining these guys back in about the three-pointers. You know, nearly 3-to-1 ratio, twos to threes. That to me is good. I don't want to be taken. I don't want it very close. I don't want it, you know, for every three we take 1.5 twos or even 2 twos. I'm not sure unless you're making a bunch of threes that is a good ratio for an offense, especially an offense like ours. You know, we're not the best three-point shooting team in the land. We know this. So I'm really happy to see that kind of a ratio. And look, you know, even no matter who you're playing, you know, for this offense to get 84 is, they're not going to lose a lot of games when they get 84. I don't think that would have cut it against Rhode Island the other day, but that's more about how good Rhode Island was. It actually would have cut it against Rhode Island. They gave up 83 to Rhode Island. So it's nice to see them kind of getting back to where they were early in the season when they were scoring really, really well in most of these games. And then they only get, you know, 68 against Rhodey in the last game after getting 66 against Mason. So they had two games where offensively probably not as good. And then today they're back to 84. So supposed to play Richmond this weekend. Not going to play Richmond this weekend. Richmond is pausing their program. I bring this up because I don't know if what I'm proposing is possible. I'm going off because I'm a fan of the Premier League. Today, when I'm recording this, Tottenham Hotspur were supposed to play my favorite team, Aston Villa. Aston Villa's had to pause because of COVID issues. So they changed. They moved another fixture they were supposed to have, which was Fulham, and they moved that to today. They let Fulham know yesterday, hey, you're going to be playing. They weren't playing. Let's play this fixture now because Spurs have nothing to do. You have nothing to do. Let's get this fixture played so that you know, that'll give us some room to maneuver later in the season. And they played today, and it ended up 1-1. So I'm looking at our situation. We're now off 10 days. We're not playing this weekend or in the midweek next week. As of now, our next game is Dayton at home, January 23rd. That is a long time because the worst part about Richmond getting postponed is that this was supposed to be our week for no midweek game. So I'm looking. I looked at the A-10 schedule. And Richmond is supposed to play St. Bonaventure this Wednesday. We don't know if Richmond's program is going to still be on pause or not. So this is what I'm proposing. If Richmond cannot play that game with St. Bonaventure Wednesday up in Olean, New York, I would, if I was VCU and maybe if I was St. Bonaventure, I have no idea how they feel about this. Maybe they wouldn't want to do this. But VCU is supposed to play at St. Bonaventure this year. The only time they're supposed to play him is up there, February 17th, which is a Wednesday, and that's why this is critical. If Richmond can't play at St. Bonnie's, VCU's already off. Why couldn't, on Wednesday the 20th, VCU go to Olean, New York, play St. Bonnie's, open up that midweek for a potential rescheduled game, which could very well be Richmond, for all we know, or could be you know, because they've already rescheduled. I think Davidson is the one they've already rescheduled for February 10th, if memory serves. And see, the problem is this particular thing. I'm still looking at the VCU schedule on the VCU website, and it's not listed. But I think our group had the schedule listed as February 10th, and I'm going to see if CBS Sports has it listed here as well, because that would be nice if they had it. Because I thought I saw that in our group that was rescheduled for then. Okay, it's not listed. The Davidson home game's not listed yet, so maybe it's not. But I'm saying VCU, if Richmond can't play up in Olean, New York next Wednesday, VCU should do it. Because VCU was unscheduled anyway, but they're going to have – I mean, we already have now 2 weeks where we're going to probably have to have three-game weeks, you know, play – Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, or Wednesday, Saturday, Tuesday, or things of that nature. So let's see. I don't know if that is even possible for the A-10 to do it. I don't know if VCU would have to go to the A-10 and ask them, If the A-10 would have to ask them, they'd have to go to St. Bonaventure. But this is something that I really think VCU should look into. And this is if Richmond cannot play the game Wednesday because they still are on a COVID pause. The other thing, too, is, and this is something that, I mean, A-10 can't do this alone. All of college basketball would have to do this. If there's an issue with getting these games played, maybe you extend the regular season by a week, move everything else back a week, and go from there, especially because, again, they're going to be playing in a bubble in the state of Indiana, in a bunch of arenas. You know, of all the years to do it, this is a year where they could maybe move everything back a week if they wanted to. So that is something for them to look at as well. I would like to see them do that. I have no idea if that is even on the cards. So VCU now 3-1. St. Bonnie's won today against Fordham. They thrashed Fordham after actually it was tied at halftime, and then they rolled Fordham in the second half. So I think they're 3-1 as well now. I think now, let me look that up real quick, but I think that makes the Bonnies 3-1 because they're now 5-1. Yeah, the Bonnies are 3-1, VCU is 3-1, Richmond's 3-1, UMass is 2-1. So three-way tie at the top of the conference with Richmond. I think Richmond's playing tonight, if I'm not mistaken, I think. Let's see here. Let's do the old A-10 1 second. So I think no, that's right. Richmond can't be playing tonight. They just froze their program. So, no, they're not playing tonight. What am I talking about? So let's see. Dayton and Duquesne are playing tonight, I think. Yeah, Dayton's already got two losses. Duquesne's already got a couple losses as well. And then who else here? Rhodey and UMass. Of course, Rhodey's got two losses, although they beat us and then UMass. And of course, St. Louis still hasn't played an A-10 game yet. So they gotta figure out their situation too. So that's why I think my idea of trying to maybe move games up where the circumstance fits and you can do it. And I know travel might make that a little difficult. They're gonna need to try to play these games one way or another, even if it's on 24 hours notice, because they've got a lot of games to make up and it's gonna be tough. You know, we may see, and St. Louis might be this way. St. Louis is probably going to have this problem. We may see conference teams playing every other day, you know, playing Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Monday, over a week span. We could see that. That's going to be really tough. So that's something to look into. That's something for VCU to look into, and I'd like to see them do it. All right. I want to thank everybody for listening. If you're watching this video on the Facebook page, comment on it, leave your comments. I'm interested in your opinions on that, on my proposal, on this game, what you thought. I was keeping my eye on the game thread, because there was a lot of standing around and waiting when I was doing the stuff with my sister. VCU's tied for first. I kind of remember when Lenardi does his bracket. I think VCU might still be in the bracket as the auto. I don't know. If not, I think they would probably win the net tiebreaker between, well, maybe not. St. Bonaventure's had a really good net, so I don't know. They're 5-1. But VCU is going to be in there or thereabouts after winning tonight, which is good. And look, let's hope if it's possible that they can play a game next Wednesday before they play Dayton. 10 days off is a lot between games. And I am worried about rust. I'm worried about rust and sharpness against Dayton when we come to it. So hopefully we won't have to wait the 10 days, but if we do, you know, we'll see what happens if I'm working that day, because I don't know if I'm working that day yet. I will definitely do something like what I'm doing here, probably listen to the game on my phone as I'm working and then watch it back and then do a video. If not, then, you know, hopefully I'll be with you watching this game. So thank you all for listening and watching. Leave your comments in the Facebook group. I always appreciate it when you do. Thank you very much. I'll talk to you later.
To submit a question for George to answer in an upcoming episode or to inquire about sponsorship opportunities for this podcast, please email ramsrewind@gmail.com. To participate in the post-game Facebook Live with George, join the Facebook group VCU Basketball Fans, The Good, The Bad, The Ugly. We'll be back after the next game, and thanks for listening to this episode of Rams Rewind.